We're doing the Sefer Amidot, we're up to page Resh Mem Zayin. V'ata ben adam sanam aromenecha v'shur shchakim gavu mimecha. Now, son of man, lift your eyes. Look into the skies, into the distant abyss. Urei shamayim larom v'eretz la'omek. Take in the depths of the heaven, the depths of the earth. V'tachlit kol eile lashlim otcha la'avodat bora'acha. What's the essence of all of this? What galaxies? What a world was created? It's all there so that you perfect yourself. And we discussed on Friday the tremendous message about the importance of each individual. Ki ata bechira nimtzeim kulam, you are the chosen creature. Sof maaseh b'machshava tchila. Hashem began by thinking about the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal was creating you. You're the essence of everything. Meaning a person could look at the world, you go out, you guys, when you visit Yishuvim, when you go out of Yerushalayim, so try to take a few minutes to walk outside and look at the sky. You don't see this in the city. You go out at night, when you're away from the city, and you look at the sky, and you see all the stars, you see what a huge world there is out there, and you think, you could think one of two things. You could think it's a huge world, I'm a little speck on this world. Or you could think it's a huge world and I'm important. Look at what a world Hashem created. Yet when I stand in Navin, He listens to me. So all this world, Chazal tell us, was created. The world revolves around each and every one of us. So then, Im ken eifo, ech tatir lenafshecha likod ro la'atzmecha. How do you give yourself leeway and say, I'm a free man, la'afer kol atzato. So what? I'm just going to sleep in. Spend the day surfing the net, shooting the breeze, doing nothing of value. How do you let yourself get away with that? V'takshech levavcha mirato v'evrato. A person says, you know, I had big hopes for you, God says. And a person says, no. A person can harden his heart from the fear of heaven, the fear of his wrath. V'tashbit avodato, and a person can say, God, it's okay, so what? So you created a world, so I'm going to stop the work in this world. V'titrachek midveikuto, can a person distance himself from connecting to his Creator? U'mataaseh b'achritcha l'shoa mimachak tavo. What will the person do ultimately when destruction comes from a distance? U'matanet b'ra'acha sh'idrosh cheshbon mimcha v'yishal leimo. What will you do when your Creator demands an accounting and says, Mara'ita ki marata bi, what did you see that you allowed yourself to rebel against me? Halo kol tuva olam ba'avrocha achinoti. I created such a beautiful world for you. V'lama areota ma'asecha. So why did you do evil things? Ba'avodati ma'asta. You scorned my service. Ma'avil matzata v'lama me'alai rachakta. What did you find that I did wrong in this world? Why did you distance yourself from me? Ve'im bi maradita, and if you rebelled against me, then al mi batachta, and who did you place your confidence? And this is two points that the Magen Midovna is saying, two brilliant points. One we already know. One is that a person generally allows himself to sin because he doesn't think about the long haul. That's the Rav Sadia Gaon's summary of the whole book of Mishlei. He says, you want to know the whole book of Mishlei in one sentence? Think long term. Think long term. If a person thinks long term, then he doesn't sin. Sin stems from short-term thinking. I want the here and now. So I ate meat an hour ago. I want ice cream now. So I think about what that's going to give me long-term. What did I gain and what did I lose? If we ever calculate long-term, we don't sin. Sin stems from short-term thinking. Everyone knows it. You get up, you know you should get up. But right now, I really want to stay in bed. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Short-term. Long-term, how will I feel in 5 hours if I know I've pulled myself out of bed and I did what I had to do this morning? Long term, short term. Speak to my dad. Drives me crazy. I yell into the phone. Short term, long term. Short term, I said what I wanted to say. Long term, am I happy with myself or do I regret it? And this goes on and on. Lashon hara. Person is tempted. He wants to say it. Short term, long term. And this, if you think about it, everything boils down to that. So that's the first point that he says. Just remember, there's an accounting. At the end of the day, God is going to say, hey, wait a second, buddy. Now it's time to pay up. So that's point number one. But point number two is another point which we sometimes forget. How many of you were with us when we went to Rav Rom? So one of the stories he told us was that when they had the war, the Six-Day War, so they saw that they were heavily outnumbered in every direction. And everyone all over the world was confident that it was over. There'd be nothing left. The Egyptians and the Syrians and the Jordanians, everyone was, they were mapping out who's going to have which blocks. It was over. No one thought we would last, including the Jews all over the world. And when war broke out, so you had soldiers who never davened in their life. And they'd turn to their religious counterparts and they'd say, "Tell me how to daven." Remember that? Daven for me. Tell me, what am I supposed to do? How do I daven? We live in a world where we're often reminded how we lack control. Today they asked me to daven for a woman, a young lady who just had a liver transplant. So what was my reaction? Where'd she get the liver? Why? Because there's someone who I'm davening for a few months already who needs a liver transplant very badly and he can't find one. He has 4 or 5 children, young man, but he needs a liver transplant to keep going. What control do we have over our lives? Okay, it's not zero. It's very close to zero. So many things that we do not control. But when we have moments when we let ourselves get away with doing what we want short term, we're ignoring the fact that in the long run, you're going to turn back to God and talk to Him. And the Magen Midvarna is saying, so to speak, Hashem's going to say, if you rebelled against me, who did you have such confidence in? You need me. How do you turn against me? What were you thinking? And that's a thought which... That goes back to Pascal's wager. Remember, what was Pascal's wager? If I believe in God, and there really is a God, so I won. If I believe in God and there isn't a God, I didn't lose too much. But if I don't believe in God and there is a God, then I'm in deep trouble, right? That was Pascal's wager. So, at the end of the day, who are you going to turn to? Hashem says, you're going to need me. Who do you have confidence in? Umikol, and this is something which we don't like to think about, especially in our young age. A young man told me that even though he lost his father as a younger person, it's only recently that he started realizing he has mortality. Usually a person doesn't think he's going to die. Like it says in the Chovas Alvavos, when someone passes away, if he was younger than us, then we tell ourselves, I passed that age. If he was older than us, we tell ourselves, I have time till I get to that age. It's rare that we say, gee, I should think about it. I could die too. We don't think about it, right? So, the Magen Midvarna is pointing that out to us. So to speak, Hashem says, who'd you have confidence in that you dared rebel against me? Who are you going to turn to when you need something? ומכל כלבתך ומחמדי ליבך מה מצאת אשר עליהם עיניך פקחת ובהם ימיך חילית ועבורם הטוב נטשת ואחרי גבך אותי השלחת. What did you find in everything you have that you said, let me invest in that and throw God behind my back? I often ask myself, do people ask themselves, and we know we don't, what am I going to answer when Hashem says, you could have helped orphans, you could have done mitzvos, and instead you just read another article on the internet? Let's assume it was innocent. It's just news. What are you going to answer? There are hungry orphans, there are hungry widows, there's so much good that could be done out there. What did I do with my time? God gave us the most precious gift, and what are we doing with it? And what are we going to answer when the day comes and Hashem says, What was worth more than the mitzvos you could have accomplished in the world? So much good you could accomplish. You know, even on the internet, there's a lot of good to be done out there. You guys don't know what I'm talking about? I'll give you a small example. You go to Wikipedia and you add, 2 links for Torah for me, 2 links for Machon Meir. Simple act, right? Not so simple. You might have changed someone's life. Guys, Torah for me costs me money. If you think I'm making money off this, got another thing coming. But think about it. You added 1 link, you gave a person capacity to connect to eternity. So you say, I need a break, I'm going online, I'm going to do something. Do something productive. It's not a big deal. Half the guys that got here, how'd they get here? Because someone told them, hey, look, it's worth seeing. So on the internet, your capacity is limitless. Ayei chochmatecha sheyotzecha uvoraacha shechachta Elohei yishecha v'tzuma uzcha lo zachauta. Hashem says, where's all your wisdom? You forgot your creator? The one who can give you salvation, he's really your rock. Him you don't remember. Hoy liyom tirech hashbon ma'asecha. Woe to the day when a person sees an accounting of his actions. So, the Magen Midovna says, if we're looking, our goal here is to maintain that balance of being enthused and realizing our responsibility that we have no way out, so part of it is realizing this point too. Yeah, we don't like hearing it. And even when we hear it, we know that we could walk out the door and forget it. But maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves. Maybe we should add one more point. And this is my point, but I think it's a very important point. Why do people become frustrated with Judaism?
The allegations.
I could tell you a few reasons. One, the famous Rambam, everyone wants promiscuity and Torah is getting in the way. So that's one. Okay. But what's 2 and 3 and 4? What are the big hurdles that people have? People don't feel like they're succeeding. Meaning, we very often see our faults, our weaknesses, and we don't see our successes. And it's very hard to be persistent at something that you feel you're not succeeding at. So that brings us to another weakness of our generation specifically. 2 weaknesses that make us feel that we're not succeeding. Number one, we're very hard on ourselves. And we work on too little sleep. And number 2, that we're undisciplined and inconsistent. If a person can be disciplined and be consistent, I've had, just today, I don't remember how many guys came over and said, I feel zero accomplishment and only frustration in my learning. And I asked them all the same question. Tell me, how consistent have you been in your learning? Consistent in time, consistent in accomplishment? Not. One day I learn for an hour, one day I don't learn. One day I'm focused, one day I'm not. Okay, there can be ups and downs, but you have to be consistent. If you knew that during the course of the next 3 weeks, you're going to accomplish this much, review it this number of times, this is what you're going to accomplish, so you'll be able to look back and feel accomplished. One of the difficulties for Chozer B'Tshuva is to gauge their accomplishments, because their accomplishments are far more encompassing. Their accomplishments is in a whole way of life. How do you gauge how connected you are to Shabbos and Torah? It's not how many chapters you read. You can't get tested on that at the end of the semester. But at the end of the day, a person has to give himself credit. When I sit with guys, one of the things I say, how many Shabbos have you kept? So you mean to tell me you came to Machon Meir a year ago and you've been keeping Shabbos for a year? That's an accomplishment. We have to also see the positive, what we've accomplished. So yes, we have to be consistent. We also have to realize that part of consistency is in realms that are not measurable. We have to see the good in what we've done and see the accomplishments. And one of the great accomplishments is consistency. Have you been keeping kosher for a year? You guys know the story of the guy who knocked on my door, Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? Knock on my door, Erev Rosh Hashanah. There's a man, you remember. There's a man standing at the door, never met him before without a yarmulke. And he says, you Rabbi Frankenthal? So I say, yeah, come on in. Can I get you a drink? Yeah, I get him a drink. So he says, you mind if I ask, you have a yarmulke? So I said, sure. I get him a yarmulke. Who are you? Oh, you don't know me. I just came in, I don't know if I should say from where, somewhere in Chutzlaitz. I wanted to ask you a question. What's your question? I'm new at Machon Meir, And I want to ask you, how do I do tshuva for eating hamburger with non-kosher meat and cheese? It's Rosh Hashanah tonight. So I said, what do you mean? So he said, well, I was sitting at the airport on my way to Israel, and I've been pretty good for the last few months. I've been eating kosher, and I forgot myself. And I went to a restaurant, and I bought hamburger with cheese. Now I landed in Israel, my first day at Machon Meir. How do I do tshuva? So I said, how long have you been eating kosher for? So he said, I'm working on it for the last few months, on and off. So I said, no, so you're working on it, very good. So he said, yeah, but I forgot that in this country, that country where it was coming from, that I forgot when I was in the airport. So I said, I'll tell you what your tshuva is. Continue forgetting. Forget what happened there. Start fresh here. See the positive. Move forward. Look forward. Turns out his yarmulke blew off on his way to my house. And he went down a rabbi and he couldn't get it. So I gave him a yarmulke. He had a yarmulke for Rosh Hashanah. You don't know. I went down a hill. He couldn't get it. But we have to remember to look at the good. Not just look at, hey, I fell here. No, hey, you've been working on it for 6 months, so you fell. Pick yourself up. Move forward. Look forward. And obviously we have to fix what we did wrong, but there's a time for that too. And we also have to see what we're doing right and see our accomplishments. And with that, move forward. So he's stressing the point, we have to see our responsibility, we have to see our obligations. We added to that that we also have to be consistent, and through consistency see growth. Consistency in learning is easier to define and see. Consistency in mitzvot is more difficult. There are the ups, there are the downs, and yet we should see the accomplishments. And from that we get the strength to continue moving forward.